I'm Brandi Cruz. This is Politics Unpacked. Every Friday for the next 8 weeks, we'll bring you everything you need to know about the legislative session in Olympia. Just information, no opinions. So let's unpack week one. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org.
The Honorable Jay Inslee, Governor of the State of Washington.
After three terms in office, Governor Jay Inslee delivered what will be his final State of the State address this week.
I am happy to report that we have been, we are, and we will always be the strongest state in the nation. In fact, the state of our state is stronger than ever.
Meanwhile, Democratic and Republican leaders laid out what their priorities will be for the next 60 days. Here's House Speaker Lori Jenkins.
Let's protect renters from skyrocketing rents. Let's help working families access childcare. Let's help people get behavioral health care that they need. Let's prevent fentanyl deaths in our communities. Let's protect the hard-won investments in clean air and clean energy innovation and continue to act on climate.
And the response from House Republican leader Drew Stokesberry.
So over the next 60 days, Madam Speaker, I hope that we have the honesty to admit when we were wrong and the humility to be willing to try new approaches. And meanwhile, we must avoid the hubris to think that good intentions are a sufficient condition for good policies. Washington State is full of potential, and none of us would be here if we didn't think we could help. But there's a catalog of crises confronting our great state. It's time for a change, Madam Speaker. Let's fix Washington.
Also this week, the first of six initiatives to the legislature was officially certified by the Secretary of State's office. Initiative 2113 would restore Washington State's police pursuit law back to how it was before the 2021 legislative session, freeing up individual departments to determine their own policies around police pursuits. Brian Haywood with Let's Go Washington, which led the signature gathering effort, said in a statement, "We gained clear and overwhelming voter support for each of the six initiatives we delivered. This is a step toward fixing what's broken and a restoration of safety on our streets. Local police, mayors, and city councils should not be stuck with a one-size-fits-all policy that keeps police from doing their jobs." It's unclear whether Democrats in Olympia are interested in adopting the initiative or letting it just go to the voters in November, despite the fact that there has been some bipartisan agreement that the law that was passed in 2021 went too far. Now for a list of bills to watch. In response to an hours-long takeover of I-5 in downtown Seattle, Republican State Rep. Andrew Barkus has introduced House Bill 2358. It would increase penalties for those who engage in that brand of criminal unrest in the future. House Bill 2114 would look to strengthen tenant protection statewide, taking cues from Tacoma and Seattle, which have done that at a municipal level. Among other things, it would limit rent and fee increases and require more notice before increases take effect. On the democracy front, following the lead of states like Colorado and Maine that have taken steps to keep former President Donald Trump off the ballot, a handful of Democrats in Washington are taking things a step further, sponsoring House Bill 2150, which would give lawmakers the power to keep anyone from appearing on a ballot if there is a two-thirds vote in the House and Senate. On the criminal justice front, House Bill 1994 would make it easier for people who commit misdemeanor crimes to have those cases dismissed if they comply with court-ordered conditions. Seattle City Attorney Ann Davison says she is opposed to the bill, telling King 5 News it would, quote, undermine the criminal justice system and our accountability we are trying to build within it. And finally, Democratic State Senator Mark Mullett has joined Republican State Senator Linda Wilson in crafting a bill that is a response to the chicken check controversy. Attorney General Bob Ferguson is facing criticism after his office intended, at least, to send out payments to low-income Washingtonians as part of an antitrust settlement against chicken and tuna manufacturers. But those checks also wound up being sent to an awful lot of people who didn't qualify, including many examples of checks being sent to people who have been dead for several years. Senator Mark Mullett joins us to discuss that bill and others.
Talk in a nutshell about what your bill would do.
So I think our bill is trying to be really narrow and specific, basically saying the Attorney General's office continue to do settlements where people who were harmed can apply for money to, you know, offset what their harm was. Or if they want to send money to like food banks in this example, they can do that without our approval. But he just can't send out 400,000 checks to a bunch of random people without getting legislative approval. It's very clear that, you know, we need to have some sideboards and oversight, because money that's intended for people living in the poverty line, which is like two people living at $35,000 or less per year, shouldn't be going to multimillionaires. And we've had way too many multimillionaires are getting checks from the Attorney General's office. So it's very clear that we need some legislative oversight of these sort of choices in the future if they just decide to mail out thousands of checks to a bunch of random people without really any thought or concern about making sure it gets in the right hands.
Yeah, and so obviously it went to people who didn't qualify financially. We've heard from a lot of those. We've also heard from a lot of family members who got checks for people who'd been deceased for 30, in one case, 40 plus years. So there's the guardrails you're trying to put on in place for the future. Is there any oversight power the legislature has right now to get to the bottom of what happened?
So we filed complaints with like the State Ethics Commission to try to figure out. I think the PDC's obviously the angle here is that the Attorney General's office was basically using his office for political gain. And I think that's the core of what's happening here. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to realize why there was such a rush from the AG's office to mail out these hundred thousands of checks. And I don't know. My big frustration is I think back to 2012 when Ferguson was running for Attorney General originally, had our then Attorney General, Rob McKenna, who was also running for governor, if he had sent out a bunch of checks intended for people to the poverty line to a bunch of multimillionaires, oh my God, there would have been hell to pay. I can't even imagine the amount of ruckus that would have created from Bob's camp as he was running for office. And so I just think there's a lot of hypocrisy here that they're not taking more accountability for how bad this process went.
Yeah, it seems like it should be universally. This was supposed to go to people who really need it. It obviously didn't. Let's get to the bottom of it and not do it again. It is something I should note, though. You're also running for governor. I know we're speaking to you in your legislative capacity. Would you have introduced this bill if you weren't?
I would have.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I always say my role in the Democratic caucus is to be vocal to hold ourselves to a standard we would expect the other party to be held to. And so I just hate this double standard of saying, okay, well, it's okay if we do it on our side, but we're going to get upset if Republicans do it. That really drives me nuts. And I would have introduced the bill regardless of what was happening in my own political life outside of this.
Yeah, and to that end, you have a bill that I'm sure not all Democrats are thrilled about, Senate Bill 5783, which would fix some of the real challenging issues with the Climate Commitment Act and the cap and trade program. Where does that bill stand right now?
Trying to get a hearing. I mean, Inslee's been really vocal against the bill. I think our governor's painted a completely false narrative. It's infuriating. He's basically said, if you're complaining about the price of gas, you're a climate change denier and you don't care about climate change. And I just hate how he's making this all or nothing mentality as though, you know, I got six kids. Like, I have solar panels in my house. I drive an electric car to Olympia every day during session. Like, I care about the future of our climate and I care about my kids, but I also care about the price of gas. And we could fight climate change and substantially lower the price of gas. It's the governor's office that I think has really screwed this up. And I think this bill is really important, actually, to fix. I mean, this is the ultimate challenge for elected officials. Admit when you've screwed something up and made a mistake. Be willing to acknowledge that and actually go in and fix the problem. Don't bury your head in the sand and just accuse everyone who's complaining about it that they don't care about the environment. And I think that's what's happening right now. And I think the governor continues to put a lot of pressure on the committee chair to not hear the bill.
Yeah, and given that dynamic and what the governor has said publicly, what legislative leaders have said publicly on the majority side, do you think this bill's probably just DOA?
I wouldn't say that yet. I mean, the Association of Washington Business, their general counsel feels like you could fix the policy if the initiative gets repealed, it gets repealed. But I don't think fixing the policy automatically makes it an alternative on the ballot this November. And so I think having some lawyers, I'm not obviously a lawyer, but having lawyers coming down with those sort of legal opinions that you could actually fix this policy without creating an alternative, I think does create a better path, I think, to have this conversation. And at the end of the day, I think it's necessary to implement the budget so it's not subject to the normal policy cutoffs. And I think the reality is Democrats, like working families, care about the price of gas, so we should care about the price of gas. And I think it's really important that we should do whatever we can this session to actually lower the price of gas for Washington consumers. And you could do that. And you could argue that if you were to do that, you might actually keep the policy alive so it doesn't get 100% repealed. It's like, I hate this all or nothing mentality that we often see when it comes to public policy decisions in Olympia.
Yeah, because if they're not careful, it will be a nothing policy. Because Washingtonians definitely, when it comes to these things on the ballot, this seems like something that will not go the way of Democrats
Yeah.
in November.
When I was down at the Sugar Bowl for the Huskies, and yeah, I saw gas, you know, $2.50 in other parts the country. This is Texas, Louisiana. And so granted, they always have cheaper gas than us, but it just highlights like Yeah, the price of gas has gone down, but we're still substantially higher than we were to our neighboring states before the policy went on the books last year.
Senator, let's end with this. Governor Inslee delivered his final State of the State address. He said our state is stronger than ever. Do you agree?
No, completely disagree. I mean, this is, you know, our governor having his head in the sand. It's like we've made backward progress on affordability and public safety, and I don't see how people can acknowledge that. And I think we have to, you know, take our victory laps as Democrats and the things we're proud of what we've done well, but, you know, be willing to raise your hand and acknowledge the areas where we need improvement. And that's where I think his State of the Union speech was a little frustrating.
Do you have a lot of friends left on the Democratic side, Senator?
I do. You can disagree without being disagreeable. It's I think it's just having, yeah, I do feel there is, I think, a silent majority out there in Washington in general who I think hates this all or nothing approach and doesn't like the extremes from either party. And I think they're really looking for people who are willing to stand up and speak for what I think is a large majority of Washington residents. We just want common sense, good government, and not attempts, as we saw from the AG's office, just to do things solely for political benefit, not good public policy.
All right, Senator Mark Mullett, we appreciate you joining us on the first week of the legislative session. A lot of work ahead. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Take care.
In addition to bringing you all the legislative stories each week that we think are important, we also want to expose you to other news outlets that you might not have heard of yet. So every week, starting next Friday on this show, we're going to be joined by our friends at the Center Square. The Center Square covers not only local and statewide political issues, but they do so through a specific lens of looking out for the taxpayers. So they'll be joining us every week briefly to talk about the issues that they're covering. And that has been this first week of the legislative session unpacked. Enjoy your weekend. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42, making Washington a place where all can prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. To support Undivided and our content like this, you can subscribe for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com.